Sports USA presents Classic Conversations with Joe Morgan, featuring some of Joe's greatest interviews with entertainment icons, Hall of Famers, and champions. Now, Classic Conversations with Joe Morgan on Sports USA.
Welcome back to Conversations with Joe Morgan. I mean, it is always a pleasure for me to be able to talk to Charles Barkley, not just on my show, but just anytime we're together, because there are certain people, when they walk into the room seems to brighten, and Charles Barkley is one of those guys. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, man. How you been doing?
I've been doing great, man. A few cross-the-road things that have happened, but, you know, that's why I want to talk to you. You know, a lot of little things going on, and they bother me, and I guess there are not many people I'd like to talk to about, you know, certain things, because it seems like you're complaining all the time. But with you, it's more of a conversation, and I've heard you, you know, stand up for a lot of different causes, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I'm glad to be here. Anytime I get to talk to you, it's always fun.
You know, the one thing that bothers me is when they look at a guy's talent, or not even necessarily talent, Charles, his potential, and they let him get away with stuff. And when I look at the NBA, I think it's even worse, because I see a lot of guys who have a lot of talent, like you're saying, jump out of the building, shoot it, you know, through a needle hole and all those things, but they don't know how to win. See, I think winning is a mentality. You know, I've always watched the guys who work the hardest, play the hardest in the toughest situations. I think those guys, to me, are the winners, and the other guys are just talent. You know, and that's something that I've always wanted to try to bring out, even when I was broadcasting. I don't know if I was able to do that, but that's kind of what I see in sports today going forward. Before, you know, when you came in, I guarantee you, Julius Erving, you've talked about how great he was for you when he came in on one of our previous shows. And guys like that could have influence on young guys. I don't see the influence on the young guys today that the veterans had before in any sport. And I talk to football players, basketball players, and obviously I'm around baseball.
Well, that's because these young guys don't listen to the vets anymore.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's the biggest problem. And first of all, you're 100% right. It's the worst in the NBA because, you know, these guys got huge guaranteed contracts.
Right.
We pay them $10, $20 million on potential. They have more power than the coaches. We don't have any veterans on teams anymore. And we like I said, we went to a period where we were drafting guys out of high school, and now they're only in college for 1 year, so we don't have any veteran guys on the team anymore. You know, Dr. J and Moses, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Bobby Jones, those guys, they taught me how to save my money. They taught me how to wear a suit, you know, because all young kids are cheap. We always try to wear warm-up suits everywhere.
Right.
You know, those guys took me shopping. Said, no, you're a professional now. You're going to put on a suit.
Right.
I remember the first time Doc took me shopping. I spent like $30,000, which is probably more money than anybody in my family had ever made in their life. I spent that in one day, like my first 2 weeks in Philadelphia. But he said, you have to wear a suit all the time. You're a grown man now. And now when I grew up, I tried to tell the young guys, Coutinho Mobley, Steve Francis, I said, dude, you can't wear warm-up suits on the road. We're professional athletes. Now these young guys today, you know, they got their posse. They got all their family and friends working for them, and they won't let you make them grow up. You know, Joe, my biggest concern, I tell all these guys, 70% of professional athletes go broke, and the majority of those guys are black. I said, guys, we got to bring that number down. First of all, nobody who makes $200-300 million or $100 million, or even $50 million should ever go broke. But because you got so many family and friends on your payroll who won't allow you to grow up, who just let you do what you want to and screw up all the time, that's why it's hard for the veteran guys to try to talk to these young guys. Because those hang around those family members, they just want to be on the payroll. They don't care about any of the other stuff.
You know, it bothers me. I'm glad you brought that up, because one of my favorite players is Allen Iverson, and obviously because he was small and he played hard and he was tough. He was a consummate professional athlete, so to speak. I mean, he played hard, you know, and he didn't have any money. And all the money that he has made is kind of like you're saying. He didn't have someone there to try to help him make those decisions early. And I've always felt it was the obligation of the team to make sure that they had someone around that could help guys. And it just bothers me, you know, like you say, to see that. And
Joe, let me tell you something. First of all, there is some truth to first of all, I'm an Allen Iverson fan.
Yes.
The Sixers actually asked me back in the early 80s to spend some time with AI. And because, you know, the thing that sucks the most about this, Joe, and you know it because we've seen it 1,000 times, it's like the movie The Perfect Storm. Like, I'm a Mark Wahlberg and George Clooney fan. Every time I watch that movie, I hope they make it, but they drown every time.
Yeah.
Every time I see a young black guy who got 25 people on the payroll, family and friends, they end up broke.
Yeah.
They always end up broke. I call it black guilt, to be honest with you. For some reason, they put so much pressure on you from the hood. Like, I said, dude, you don't have to take care of the whole hood.
Yep.
If you want to do something for your mom, that's fine. You want to do something for your dad, that's fine. Even your brothers and sisters. But they don't have to all be on the payroll making hundreds of thousands of dollars, because the day you retire, you're not going to have any money. So the Sixers called me in, because I have always liked Allen Iverson. I agree. That guy gave everything he had. And I said, hey, I don't know you. You're going to be a great, great player. But the Sixers are concerned that you are taking care of 20, 30 people. Oh, man, you know, these my homeboys. They've been with me. I said, I understand that. We all grew up somewhere. But they don't have to all be on the payroll. And, you know, and then you know how it is. It's the good soldier on one ear, me, and all his boys on the other side. Like, hey, man, you know, he just hating on you, man.
Right.
You know he ain't get, don't he don't know how it is with blah, 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 blah. I said, dude, I don't know how those guys is, but I know how this story going to end. You're going to drown like Mark Wahlberg and George Clooney. And now, $300 million later, I just saw him another day in Philadelphia when he announced his retirement.
Yeah, and I saw you were there.
It's sad. Because, you know, you ain't going to never get a chance to make $300 million again. Ever.
No.
Joe, as you know, no matter how great a player you are, when you can't play anymore, you become an owl.
Thank you.
And I say, because when you call for tickets and shoes, SFA said, Charles, who?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I don't think people ever understand.
Charles, who? Can I get some tickets, Charles? Well, tickets are $85 a piece, and that's a little higher. If you want to go lower, I said, dude, and it's like that for everybody who played, no matter how great you were, unless you're Magic Johnson, who owned part of the team.
Yeah.
But you have to, the money you make, man, you got to save it.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me, like you say, to see how many times. And statistically, when you look, the thing that bothers both of us the most is it's the African-American guys, right? I mean, it
drives
just seems
me crazy.
Drives because, you know, us both.
I tell people, if you're black and get lucky enough to hit the lottery, you better save that money. And that's what playing sports is. It's like hitting a lottery. And we're talking about that money, you're making tens of millions of dollars. That money's got to last you the rest of your life. Because the thing I tell people, dude, I got lucky myself. I say, the day you retire, you're not going to have a job. All that money you made, no matter how much it is, it's got to last you the rest of your life.
But I think therein lies the problem. And again, you know, a lot of the times the young African-American kids come from a low-income family or something and never had that. I'll give you an example. I was very lucky because my dad was pretty smart, college, you know, went to college and all that stuff. The day I signed my first contract, you know, to go away and play baseball, I got a small bonus. Back in those days, man, it was $3,000, you know, to get millions now. But the first thing my dad did was he took me to the attorney, and he had them set up a 10-year annuity. So every year I was going to pay money into that annuity. So if I played for 10 years at the end of that time, I'm going to have, you know, money for the rest of my life. Obviously, over the course of the time, we kept adding and doing things because I made more and more money. But I was lucky that way, and I think that's one of the unfortunate parts that we see in our society is that the African-American kids are not pointed in that direction right away. And like you said, once you start playing, you think you're going to play the rest of your life. You know that. Your first year, you think, man, I'm going to be here forever. You don't think that 8 years from now, 5 years from now, whatever it is, you're not going to be in that situation, so you don't think about it.
But, you know, I never, it started changing somewhere in the middle of my career. Because there's not one guy I played with, and I played with some all-time greats, played against some all-time greats. I don't know where this thing started where guys hire 20, take care of 20 family members and hire 10 family members. Because I've actually never had a person in my family work for me. And I don't remember that with Dr. J. I don't remember that with Moses. Yeah, do we give family and friends money? Yeah, a little bit. But never to the point where, you know, they're all on the payroll. Because I had to learn the magic word. No, I can't lend you any money.
Right.
Because, I know. And then I had to learn don't ever feel guilty about saying no.
That's the thing. See, I think that's a lot of guys' biggest problem, Charles, is feeling guilty about telling one of the boys in the hood, I can't loan you this. I can't buy you a car. And, he's got uppity now because he's got money. So I think that's the biggest thing right there you just said is you can't feel guilty about saying no.
It probably took me about $3 million, to be honest with you.
Right.
And my financial people says, hey, man. Because, you know, I actually missed the big money curve, number one. I don't want to sound like an ingrate or an idiot. The most money I ever made was $5 million. I never made the $10, $20 million some of these guys are making.
Right.
But I made a great living. But I probably gave away $3 million to family and friends trying to keep their loyalty. Like, okay, I don't want them to think I'm uppity. And then my financial guy brought me in one day. He says, you know you're going to go broke in a couple of years if you keep giving away money like this. You know, you're not going to play basketball forever. And the money you make now got to last you the rest of your life. You know, at this point, I'm not even thinking about television. I mean, television saved me in a lot of ways. But if I had to be honest with you, I would have been in dire straits probably if I had just lived on my basketball money. Because, man, I was trying to keep all my friends. And I realized, like, first of all, they're not my friends. Friends don't come and ask you for money all the time. They don't do that.
I'm speaking with the great Charles Barkley. You just made up a great point that I wanted to bring up, too. You talk about the TV that you do, and obviously I'm probably your biggest fan, and I mean that. I don't even watch some of the games, but I turn on so I can try to catch halftime with you and get in the guys. And it's interesting because I'm reading something here. So you were very popular, obviously, with the media when you were playing. And you made the all-NBA, all-interview team like his last 13 years in the league. So that kind of tells you a little bit something about you had something. And how did you get into TV? What brought you to there?
Well, number one, thanks for the compliment. A guy who's my mentor, Dick Ebersol, in my last couple of years started talking to me about going on television. I said, I never thought about that. He says, now, it's going to be interesting because – the reason you make the all-interview team, you tell these guys you're honest with them and you're straightforward with them. Now, that's going to be good and it's going to be bad. I said, what do you mean? He says, when you're honest, when you have to criticize players, criticize the commissioner, criticize a coach, they're not going to like it. He says, we're going to like it because you're going to be honest and straightforward. And that's all I tell these guys. Some of these guys call me when I say something about them on television. I said, you played bad. What am I supposed to say? You know, because these players, man, they are so sensitive. And you can say 100 great things about these players.
Exactly.
But if you say one bad thing, they go crazy.
And somebody else interprets it for them. They didn't even hear it.
You had a terrible game.
And they didn't hear it, though. Somebody's telling them that, Charles. They're playing. You know what I mean? It happened to me. I mean, I would say something and somebody else would misinterpret it because they didn't know what I meant.
Well, first of all, it's not whether what you meant or what you said, was it true or not? I mean, first of all, they can be criticized. We all been criticized. But these guys are so sensitive today because, you know, one of the worst things that ever happened to the world is AAU. I hate AAU. So these guys have been getting their butt kissed by these runners and these scumbag AAU coaches since they were like 15. So by the time they get to, you know, and the college coaches are afraid of them because, you know, they only going to get them from 1 year. So they really not coaching them the right way, trying to make them better players. So by the time they get to somebody like myself or guys who they think are over, I want to brag on you. I never leave my house and let me kill this guy tonight. But when a team is flawed or a player is flawed, my obligation is to the fans. I'm supposed to tell them, and I'll explain when the player calls me. I said, this is why. You know, Blake Griffin, I think he's a very talented player. He's got to work on his offensive skills. That's nothing personal. Right. I said he's a good player. But before he can become a great player, he's got to improve his low post game. Dwight Howard, I think the best thing going to happen to Dwight Howard. I'm a Dwight Howard fan. He's a great rebounder and a great defender, but he's very limited offensively. Those are fair right. criticisms. They're nothing personal.
Yeah. I mean, they don't take it as constructive criticism. They just take it as criticism. And therein
no,
lies the problem.
No such thing as constructive criticism in today's. You know, I've got a report right. of friends, and they'll say, and we talk about it. We're out drinking beers and having fun. Guys in other sports, they say, man, these guys are so sensitive today. Yeah. I said, dude, do your job. I said, I will tell you, do your job. You know, when you do your job, that's all you can worry about. I can't get, I can't leave my house and I got to make sure every player likes me. I got to make sure every player likes me. I'm going to do my job first and foremost. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be fair. One of the reasons I don't like some reporters is they have guys they like, guys they dislike. They have coaches they like, coaches they dislike. I think the one thing I can honestly say is when the player calls me, I talk to him like a man. I explain to him what I said, why I said it.
Right.
And most of the time they're like, okay, I can live with that. Because I'm not, I don't, you know, one of the guys I can't stand is Skip Bayless. Like, when you deliberately, deliberately just try to take on the big names and cut them down, I don't like that at all. Or you just want to be, Dr. Phil always talk about it, want to be a right fighter. Even when you're wrong, you know, the one thing I used to watch Skip Bayless, when his team lost, he didn't get the other team credit. He told you why his team lost.
Exactly.
I like, just say I was wrong.
Right.
You know, he would never say that. And that's what drives me crazy. I have no problem saying, hey, I was wrong. I picked that team to win. The other team played better.
I'm like you, though. When I was broadcasting, I'd love for guys, if they thought I said something wrong, to call me rather than just be mad at me. You know what I mean? Because I think in terms like you, I can explain to you why I thought that. And if we disagree, we disagree, you know.
But they are so sensitive. It's unbelievable.
Yes, I
mean, every little thing you say about them. And like I say, they never look at the good stuff you say. They never look at the good stuff you say.
It's so funny because with me, when I was broadcasting Charles, John Miller may say something about a guy that I didn't necessarily agree with, and maybe I'd, you know, try to defend him. But we both got painted with the same brush. I mean, by that, I mean, sometimes if Kenny says something, it seems like they think, well, it comes from both of them, you know, and that's one of the things that always bothered me as an announcer.
Because some of the stuff we're talking about, man, you know, it hurts me when I see 70% of professional athletes going broke and majority of them are black. That, I love talking about stuff like that. That's a travesty.
Well, that's why I like to talk to you. We're going to, you know, some people I just talk sports with, you know, whatever, but I like to talk world affairs with you. The one thing that you apparently miss, and I know I do, and that's the camaraderie that we had as a group, as a team. You know, television can't replace it. Nothing can replace being part of that team and part of that locker room that you're talking about. That's why, as you said, you're always going to believe the players because the players are there and they know what happened.
Hey, listen, I'm always going to believe the players because you're with these guys. And I saw a couple players talk about it. They said, during the season, you're with your teammates more than you're with your family.
You are.
And when you go on the road, you don't know anybody in Seattle or Utah. You get four or five guys together, and you go to a restaurant. And, you know, you have fun with those guys. I mean, and so you develop a camaraderie. And, I played on teams with guys who you don't get along with or don't like, but you don't bother them. I mean, you kind of keep your distance away from them. But there's nothing like the fun. And like I say, is some of it crude? Of course it is. Is some of it racial? Of course it is. Is some of it sexist? Of course it is. And I don't apologize for that because some of those guys are my best friends. And I've had more fun in the locker room talking trash. I mean, you know, I tell guys all the time, you know, when you're walking through the airport and you see a big fat chick, you always say, hey, man, didn't we tell you not to bring your wife on the trip? I mean, we say stuff like that, like, is that inappropriate or whatever? People can take it how they want to. But if you, like I always tell people, if you see a real ugly girl, you say, man, we told you not to bring your girlfriend on the trip. It's a boys only trip. We're here to work. And that's just the way the locker room is. And it 90% of the time, no, but most of the time, 100% of the time, it stays in the locker room. Because we know when you go to war, and football's different. Those guys, I've always said, I played football one day, Joe. It was the worst day of my life. I haven't had many bad days. I played football one day. I said, these guys are crazy. They just beating the hell out of each other out here. I quit after one day. And I can understand, those guys all have a bun. That's why football and boxing are my two favorite sports, because it takes courage. You know, baseball, basketball, hockey, it takes talent. But football, boxing, MMA now, it takes courage to be out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it definitely does in football. I've always said that football, and I mean this, is the ultimate team sport. Because you have to protect the guy next to you, and the guy in the backfield only as good as the guys in front. I mean, they have to have a bond, like you're talking about, in order to go out there every week and beat each other up and stuff. So it's kind of different. I'm probably as big a football fan, like I said, and boxing fan as you are. You know, we've run into each other at a few boxing matches, but you're down there in the front row and I'm back in the back. But, you know, I understand that.
That's only because I lose more money at the casino than you.
I took a year before I called you back this time, but I'm gonna have to call you and just see how things are going. You know,
hey man, you
I know you're
got
not getting
an open
a chance.
Invitation. Hey, listen,
I know that. But
as I always tell you, because of guys like yourself, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, all the older black guys, I can never, because you one of the first things we talked about, because I'd heard something you said on television about Jackie Robinson,
right,
and are you about telling him thank you?
Yeah.
And that touched me because us young black guys today, we make a lot of money that we don't deserve. We ain't never been good as players. I ain't never going to be a good player as Bill Russell and all those guys. But I make a lot. I used to make a lot more money than them. But the one thing I never failed to do to older black guys is y'all did all the heavy lifting to put me in a great situation. And I'm not one of those black guys who's an idiot, who's like, well, they wouldn't have treated me like that. I said, no, they would have hung your ass. Yeah, you know, some of the young black guys,
exactly.
Oh, no, they wouldn't have been treating me bad. I said, dude, they treated every black person bad. And you would have took it, and all the older black guys, man, I can never thank y'all enough for all the heavy lifting y'all did.
I appreciate your time all the time, but it's even more enjoyable just to talk to you. I don't get to see you enough anymore. And but by the way, how's your golf game?
You know, I'm down to a 12-pack a day, Joe. So my handicap is 12. I take 12 beers out there. I stink up the golf course, smoke me two stogies, and have a good day.
All right, man. Do me a favor and tell Kenny, you know, and the guys I said hello, and, you know, we'll keep in touch.
I look forward to it, man. You take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for listening to Classic Conversations with Joe Morgan, featuring some of Joe's greatest interviews of all time. Get them all anytime at sportsusamedia.com, iTunes, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, iHeartRadio.com, and the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. There, you can also check out some of SportsUSA's other great podcasts, like Snake Steaks with Jake Plummer, The Rich Report with Tom and Sam Rich, Ted Sobel's Excellent Sports Adventure, and The Fred Dreyer Show. This is Sports USA.